Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
Good morning. It's a beautiful Saturday, middle of the country. This is the Helitech Home Improvement Show, the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Scott Mosby, 2 hours, questions and answers, anything you wish to talk about right here on University of KMOX, 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. I am at your service until 1 o'clock today when we go up to the Retire Ready Show here on KMOX. Lots of things happening throughout the day. This is the place to be. You and I are both part of the KMOX family. Glad to be here. I do have a guest coming in later this morning. We're going to talk about home accessibility, the things around your home that you can prepare for yourself, and other things that as you get into projects like bathrooms, kitchens, basements, doorways, all those things that really are part of any kind of home maintenance or remodeling. We're going to ask Norm Bennett to advise us throughout those things. So we will have questions and answers to throughout the 2 hours, any topic you wish. So whether I have a guest here at any time, on any day, you're welcome to ask questions on any topic. Most of my guests are pretty well versed in general remodeling, and some are specialists in specific parts of that work. My advantage is I know a little bit about a lot. I don't know a whole lot about a little on any particular topic. That's where I defer to the specialists, the people that love those sorts of things, that drive their own careers, education, follow-up, and experience in specific lines. For example, I know a little bit about plumbing. Once we get down the food chain a little bit further, I need to defer to real plumbers, real licensed plumbers that know what they're doing, that are trained and as well licensed for performing that work in a health and safety way for all of the really built environment, or as you and I would know it, make sure our homes are healthy and safe for us. 314-436-7900 puts us together today. 800 toll free, 800-925-1120. We're going to talk about so many things, but really on the top of the list is accessible bathrooms, preparing your home for future ready, as you will, or thrive in place. We'll talk about some of the various post-education follow-up training for designers, constructors, various people there as well. It's a beautiful day. It's going to be a fabulous day today in St. Louis. If you can hear my voice, you're in a nice weather pattern along with the rest of us here. And it's going to hit close to 60 degrees, sunshiny tomorrow. Not so much. So anyway, as Brian Kelly told us from the KMOX newsroom, today's the pick of the litter. This is the time to get outside and get your things done. And I'm going to ask you to do just a few things. As it warms up right about now, take a walkabout in your yard, either today. You can do it tomorrow, just a chillier day tomorrow. Make sure that you have things moved away from your air conditioner condenser outside. For those of you that know that you have heat pumps, the air conditioner, that compressor thing, that fan blower thing outside the house, that's very important because you need to allow the air to move past that, whether you're in a heating season or a cooling season. Keep the stuff away from it. Clean it up. If you have gas-fired forced air or gas heat of any kind, you can indeed put a lid on top of that condenser. I'm not a big fan of covering, nor are the manufacturers an advisor to putting a bag or a coating or a slip cover, because in the St. Louis Midwestern area, we get just a whole lot of humidity and wet, and sometimes the sun and even the wind, even when it's cold, dry out all of that electric wiring, electronics, fans, compressors, things like that. That's a good thing. If you want to keep the snow and the ice from accumulating on the top, what I did is just cut a piece of plywood, stuck it on top of the fan there, and I disconnected, turned the breaker off inside or pulled the disconnect outside, either way, but I kind of shut it down for the winter so it couldn't mistakenly start up in the cooling mode, because when you're down below 20 degrees Fahrenheit and you fire up the air conditioner, you can do a little bit of damage. So it's a good thing to make sure that your air conditioner is rendered inoperable during the very cold winter times, mostly January, February, a little bit into March. Also, we've got ice melt. I know this is not the day you want to talk about it, but again, I'm just going to tap you on the shoulder. Think about your ice melt, the things that you have. And really for today, you know, it's not that you go out and buy it, although this is the better time to start looking for it before everybody else does. You have a better choice. And, you know, you can do it at your convenience instead of, oh, it's going to snow tomorrow, I better go get some stuff. So what I'm asking you to do is make sure that if you have any snow melt, make sure that it's convenient to you. And that you have the tools out. For example, I put away my snow shovel, you know, when the summer comes. I don't need that thing, you know, in my way. But about this time of year, I start pulling out the snow shovel. I bring out the ice melt. Sometimes I have salt. Sometimes I have calcium chloride, the various things that I put on the different surfaces. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But just, be aware. Be aware that the season is coming and it's something that you've got to pay attention to and be prepared for. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Two full hours today. Accessibility will be our backup topic. Guest coming in, Norm Bennett of Mosby Building Arts. So I've asked Norm to come in. He knows a lot about a little in accessible, what's called thriving in place. Some industries call it, National Association of Home Builder calls it aging in place. We call it thriving in place. It's a little more universal to who it applies to. So we'll talk about that and more with Norm when he calls in here in a little bit. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Let's get started with the phone calls. See what's happening here with my friend Luther. Hey, Luther, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can I help, sir?
Thank you, Scott. I appreciate your program. Really learn a lot sometimes. Anyway, I am a do-it-yourselfer, and I got an issue with my shower stall in the basement. I guess, for the lack of a better word, it's a surround type thing. You know, three sections and plus the base. But apparently, the one wall seems to get saturated or, you know, a water bouncing up upon it, and it's really kind of like getting really ragged looking. And without having to cut that piece out, the green wall out, can I just put the tile or some other type of covering over it without removing that piece? Or
that's the surround, Luther? You're trying to not remove the surround part?
No. I'm trying to, you know, the surround part is about 6 foot high. Above it, about maybe 2.5 feet, is green, you know, drywall.
Amen, brother.
And which is painted. But the bottom part where it meets the top of the stall, the shower surround thing, it's really, you know, it's deteriorating. It's the drywalls, I guess, for lack of a better word, is getting all, I don't know what the proper term is, but it's
gnarly.
Gnarly, exactly. Gnarly.
So yeah, there we go.
I want to get rid of the gnarliness.
Yes.
And, without having to cut the drywall all out and replacing it, because it happened once before and I had it replaced, and now it's, you know, it's happening again. So I'm wondering if I could just put a piece of tile it or
sure.
put a piece of, I don't know, some type of other hard plastic up there as opposed to putting drywall back up.
Oh, yeah. As long as your drywall is solid, you're in pretty good shape. You need to seal that drywall, usually with an oil-based paint, something that is not water permeable. So you're pretty much sealing all the latex or plastic or water-based stuff into the drywall there. At that point, after that dries, you would waterproof that with a liquid waterproof membrane. Sometimes that is the tile adhesive, the yellow stuff with a trowel, but instead of using the tooth end, you smooth it. The point being is you need to waterproof that area from the tile or the shower surround to the ceiling. Sometimes you can do the ceiling as well too, Luther, so waterproof it, and then ceramic tile. And the only thing I would suggest on your ceramic tile is make sure you get edges or 2x6 bullnose. They're called terminates or just edge strips. Make sure you get the accessories, because getting tile is easy. Buying tile that has accessories with it is a much shorter list of choices.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good. Now, I'm just kind of worried about the aesthetics, though, because the way the whole bathroom is configured is that I just don't know aesthetically if just putting tile on that one wall would look good, because there's no other way to install the tile that it would look completely finished. It's just the way how it's constructed that, you know, right, I just don't know aesthetically if just having that one little area tiled and the rest is still painted. I just don't know. So, okay.
Luther, if you tile it, you tile all three. This is aesthetically an extension of the shower surround that goes to the ceiling. So if you have a three-sided shower, then you're tiling three sides. And you do the back wall first, cut your side walls into it so you're actually closing any gaps that you might have. And then that's where I'm advocating you come out to the face of the shower left and right with those terminal edge strips or finished ends.
Okay, so then it wouldn't matter then, like you say, the end parts, the end walls, they'd extend further into the bathroom. So it's not like...
Yeah, like the, but your shower curtain doesn't, or your door, either way. So it's kind of it makes sense visually that it's just, here are the wet walls, this is the shower, and two different materials, and just coordinate your colors the best you can.
Okay, well, thanks, Scott. I appreciate that, and... have a happy Thanksgiving the rest of the week, okay?
Thank you. I've done my very best to overeat.
Oh, I did too, sir. Thank you very much. Have a great day.
All right, Luther, thanks for starting us off. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. We are off and running here on University of KMOX. Short pause, come right back for more right here on University of KMOX.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
And welcome back. I really want you to get outside and check around your house. Make sure that the house is ready for the winter season, at least the fall. And, of course, without saying, clean up the leaves. Get somebody to pick that stuff up. Leaves can get wet, stay wet. Freezing overnight can cause ice. You step on those leaves, you're actually standing on a leaf that is icy. You can wind up with a slip and a fall. And issues and care items necessary that you really might want to avoid. Phone lines right here on KMOX, 314-436-7900, 6-7-9-0-0, toll-free 800-925-1120. So make sure that you're getting your house ready for the winter. I know it's coming. Today is, might be a nice day to be outside. It sure is a great day. But anyway, the point being, make sure your house is ready for the coming months, because this is the time to get things going. Luther called in about putting tile over his shower surround in a basement bathroom. And with the holidays, we get more house guests. We get the entire family and tribe over, and we wind up with using more showers, more bathrooms. So all those things that sometimes are just a cleaning item throughout the year, we're putting them into service now, and the luxury of having extra spaces like that is really important. With me now, I have Norm Bennett, who's a home consultant with my company, Mosby Building Arts. I've asked Norm to come on. He is an, excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold. He is an accessibility expert, and he knows a lot about these issues, and his career has taken him deep into some of these accessible issues and improvements around the home. Norm, good morning. Thank you for joining me here.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good family event? Tighter?
Oh, we had a great time. And of course, everybody ate too much, but love the leftovers, I think, more than the actual event. I think that turkey sandwich 4 hours later is just as good as the whole spread.
Oh, yeah. I heard the thing about throw out the leftovers. It's like, oh, no, that's the best part.
Absolutely.
Norm, what would you like to talk about today? I know I've got several things I want to chat with you about, but what's your overall big general message that we're really you want to get out there for the holidays?
My overall big general message is that, you know, Mosby has really spent a lot of time the past 6 months or even a couple years keeping people safe in their own homes. And that's where I've focused a great deal of my past 6 or 7 years of my career, is making a home accessible, safe, and allowing someone to stay in their home for the rest of their lives. And there's just really specific things that you can do to your home to make it safe. That home that you've lived in for so many years and has served you so well, one small event like a surgery or anything, a little bit of mobility issue, and all of a sudden that door's not as wide as it should be. Or what are we going to do about these steps? You know, these steps that we've used our whole lives now seem like Mount Everest, you know. So yeah, we've really spent a lot of time focusing on that, and that's my background, and I'm really excited to help people with that process.
Well, Norm, will you stick around for a while, and maybe we can get some questions and answers here that perhaps you can help, and we'll chat about these topics as we go throughout the first hour. Do you mind?
Absolutely.
All right, Norm Bennett, home consultant, Mosby Building Arts. Norm can be reached 314-909-1800, he and others as well. Let's see what's happening on the phone lines with my buddy Max. Hey, Max, good morning. Welcome to KMOX, and how can we help you here, sir?
Hi, Scott. I've got a General Electric Weathertron 1980 vintage, and I need to replace the thermostat. It's not always bringing up the heat when we need to do it. Is there any experience with a particular model that I should be going to?
Well, I'll tell you what, Max, it gets into, and I'm not a big digital guy, but I am a freedom and convenience guy. Many of your thermostats, most all of them out there, will work fine on your furnace. There's not a big issue with that. What happens is, how many bells and whistles do you want on this thermostat? Because what happens, you have your analog, normal, you know, on, off, fan on, fan off, things like that. But then you get your setback timer thermostats. Well, then you get into the electronic things where you can actually set the humidity of your humidifier with it. And then if you put this little Wi-Fi thing on it, or you get a model that is Wi-Fi, you know, wireless or Wi-Fi compatible, you can, you know, set your temperature and your humidity and change your mind from anywhere that you have a smartphone and connectivity. So it really, Max, the not much to worry about on thermostats, but just a lot. You know, it's like buying a car. Well, how much stuff do I want on and in this car?
Yeah, I agree with all that, and I would like to do the Wi-Fi, but I find that this is an ancient heat pump, and it's eight wires, and not all the wires limited on what I can find out there. Honeywell seems to be the one that is talked about a lot, but you know, when we're talking 41 year old system, mm-hmm. people are saying that should have been replaced long time ago, but it's working fine other than this.
Sure. Well, that thermostat that you buy will outlive that Weathertron system that you've got. So just be aware that you're buying for future systems, future years. And for me, again, when I get into these things, man, I only want to learn the instructions once. So changing thermostats on me every 3 years is like a dirty trick. So, but right, you will need those eight wires. And frankly, unless you do a Wi-Fi thermostat, which I don't advocate, I'm an old-time wire guy. You know, if you want reliability, run a wire to it. So, frankly, I would find a way to pull an 8-wire to it. And even in the 8-wire, realize most of those wires don't get used, frankly. So make sure, I know you can get a two wire, some have three and four wires on, the thermostat operators, but you know, the future and getting features when you replace that unit, you know, more wires are better, frankly. And if you break one of those wires, having eight, I think they only use four or five of them, you wind up having another opportunity to correct that broken wire, too.
Very good. All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And, you know, frankly, do or do not, but there is no try. So my advice is, you know, pull your eight wire, do what you have to do. It is a pain. It's a little bit costly. It may be better done at the time when the furnace gets replaced, but, you know, could be another 10 years before that happens. So I would go ahead, but empower yourself with as many choices as you can, and that's an eight-wire thermostat.
Yep, very good. Well, 25 years ago when we bought the house, they said the furnace, the HVAC needed to be replaced, and I found that it was all plugged up with lint, dirt, and everything else, and it's been rewarding me with service, so I'm happy.
Yeah, and good care really exceeds bad performance, so my kudos to you. Keep going.
All right, thank you.
Okay, Max, take care. See ya. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. Let's go back to Norm Bennett and chat with him a little bit. Hey Norm, when you walk into a home, and this is something you do, I know, on a regular basis, what are the things are you noticing which would be opportunities for more convenience, accessibility, safety? What do you see, what do you note when you come into a home?
Well, the first thing that you want to take notice of is the homeowner. What's their mobility situation, and what are they needing? So spend quite a bit of time talking about that. And usually I'll let them direct me to some areas that need attention. A lot of times that's steps. We spend a great deal of time in the bathroom, actually, because, you know, that tub is quite a hazard, you know, and getting that tub out of there and creating a walk-in shower, or even a completely barrier-free shower, is pretty important. And that's an area that we've spent a lot of time and focus. So we look at steps, we look at areas where there might be a little awkward, that might need a handrail. Getting in and out of the house, it seems like a fundamental thing, but it's just, you get used to living in that home the way it is, and you may have an area where it feels a little awkward. That's the area you need to address. If it's feeling a little awkward, let's look at that. Let's fix it. Let's take that awkward away. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I remember following a lady of limited mobilities in from the garage. She grabbed that doorknob and pulled straight back at herself to get herself going up the steps. And that doorknob is not made for that.
Absolutely.
She wasn't willing to replace that doorknob with a handrail, a little grab bar to the side. But my gosh, I was ready to catch her on any given moment.
Absolutely. And yeah, I see that all the time. And you just get used to doing things a certain way. And a lot of people that we talk to are the folks that are saying, you know what, it's time to update this bathroom, and let's do it in a way that kind of plans for the future. So that's a big part of it, too. It's time to do something, so let's do it right so we don't have to make modifications. Do things like putting blocking in the walls anywhere you might need a grab bar in the future is just something that you wouldn't think of when you're doing a remodel, but when you're starting to think in that direction, it's good to have an expert to talk to. And we love doing that.
These things like blocking, these are really inexpensive when you're remodeling, when you're doing something like that. Are these things pricey or difficult when you're going through a normal remodeling project?
When you're going through a normal remodeling project, it's just the simplest thing to do while the drywall's off. It's just planning a little bit, planning some blocking for a possible shower bench where you might need it in 10 years or 15. It's just a simple thing to do if you're checking these boxes off as you do the project. It's an extremely expensive thing to do if you have to come into a beautiful new bathroom and start doing demo to get the proper blocking and things, which, by the way, we do all the time. It's best to do it right that first time.
Yeah, yeah. What things as far as any suggestions on thermostat? Our first caller was Max. He called about a thermostat. How deep into the electronics of the home do you get as far as lighting controls and thermometers and thermostats and such? How deep is that?
You know, we normally don't do a whole lot of high tech. It's more like what you said. Let's make it simple and direct. But lighting is a big thing because, it kind of goes back to you're just used to that home and the way it is. And you don't realize this hallway is dark. And, you know, when the cat runs down the hall and I don't know where it's at, you know, there's just certain things that can make it a lot simpler and a lot safer. And as you mentioned a minute ago, lighting is not a big deal. It's not a huge cost, but it's something we can look at during the process.
You know, Norm, I notice as I drive around now with all the LED light bulbs that on one house last week I drove down the street. It was evening time after dusk. And the house had four different color light bulbs going on the outside of the house. You know, how tough is it to get just the right color light? I mean, it's kind of like coordinating clothes or whatever. But I for something you and I naturally do automatically, golly, I'm stunned how many people don't realize that there are different colors and they're unusual decorating their houses.
Right. It seems like the options are endless now. You know, you can even go into the big box stores and they've got the different tone of a typical light. And you really have to look at that because my wife, for example, doesn't like one of those particular tones. It's too blue, you know, and you wouldn't think about that. And you can just go replace a bunch of lighting and then realize what's going on in here? The room looks different. You know, the paint looks a different color.
And it can. I mean, it really can. So, yeah. Well, let's take a short pause here and see if we can get some callers on the line. Norm, will you stick by with me for a while?
Absolutely.
Right on. Norm Bennett, a home consultant on accessibility. And I'm going to ask for some phone calls here. Folks, we've got phone lines open for you. 314-436-7900, 436-7900, 800-925-1120. Bring on the callers. We're going to talk about flooring types with Norm. What types of floors are more accessible? Steps, thresholds, elevations, all the little risky things that are in the home that might not be so safe. We'll be right back after this on University of KMOX. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Norm Bennett, Scott Mosby, at your service.
Is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show. My name is Scott Mosby with you here until 1 o'clock today. Guest online is Norm Bennett, an accessibility expert home consultant, and he is here ready to help you and me through these issues. Let's go to the phone lines and follow up with my friend Ed. Ed, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can we help you, sir?
Yes, this is Ed. And a few months ago, I called with a question about Mr. Bennett, I'll call him Mr. Bennett.
Okay.
And I put cold water tied in an upper unit.
Yeah.
It cleared out, and I'll tell you, it cleared things out. And that guy saved me a ton of money, and I want to thank him.
Oh, thank you. Much appreciated. Norm, do you know anything about Ed?
It doesn't ring a bell, but, you know, we see a lot of people, and I'm glad he was happy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, as we were going through, you mentioned earlier in the first segment about the width of doors. How many sizes of doors are there? I mean, you know, door's a door and walk through the house. How many different sizes and
absolutely.
Which ones are more suitable?
Yeah, I kind of joke about St. Louis being the land of the 24-inch door. you know, and you don't notice that a door is so small if it's something that you never have to really, if it's not a place where you're turning a corner, you're just going in and out of it. But man, if you have to have any kind of an issue like a rehab or a knee surgery or anything where you have to use any kind of a mobility device, you won't be getting in your bathroom, you know, if it's a 24-inch door. So that for whatever reason, builders like to put one 36-inch door on the house, and that's usually the front door. And then the garage door, where you think you would have another 36-inch door, it might be 32, and it's very normal for it to be that way. So you've got a 32-inch door in the garage, one 36-inch door. So I might have to, in order to access your home, if we're doing something so you can get in and out, I might have to only look at the front door until we can do a widening on another area or even entering the house from a place that you never expected. But it's a big deal when you have any kind of a situation where you might need the help of a mobility device, and then you have to look at turning radius, and door widening is kind of a big deal too. Are you going to have to move the electrical? Do you have room structurally to make it wider? Are you going to have to knock out a wall? You know, it's a very important issue, and some homes are more user-friendly than others, but there's a lot of small doors out there.
Oh, my. I mean, 24 inches, that's just barely getting the toilet out of the bathroom if it's a 24-inch door, and many of those bathroom doors are really skinny.
That's right, yeah. And it just kind of blows your mind a little bit. Is why did they do it that way? But it's just the way homes have been built for, you know, 100 years. We're going to put a 28-inch door here in the bathroom because we don't really need a 32-inch door, you know, or a 36. 28's fine. 30 inches, you see that a lot. It's very, very common.
Yeah, if you don't know what we're talking about, try and carry the groceries throughout your house. So get a couple of grocery bags hefted up while you're carrying both of them and see how many doors you can actually get through in your house. See, it's a real enlightening moment.
Yeah, right.
Well, Norm, will you stand by? Let's see what's cooking with our friend Mary. You willing to stand?
Certainly.
Okay, let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary, good morning. Welcome to KMWX. How can we help you here on this beautiful Saturday in the middle of the country?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening for the past hour, I guess, whatever time you've been on. But I've been told I need a guardrail going down my basement steps. And I'm living in an older home. It's about over 100 years old, actually. And I have a railing on one side, but I don't have a guardrail on the opposite side. And I don't have mobility issues at this point in my life. I am a little bit older, so it could become an issue. But I just wondered if that's a very costly fix, and it just sounds like a railing down the other side of the steps.
Sure. Norm, can you help Mary?
Sure. So the side that the handrail is on, I'm assuming that's on a wall, and then the other side is wide open, so it's just open on that side. Okay, well, that's just, I'm assuming somebody gave you that tidbit of advice because it's a fall issue, which is a safety issue irregardless. So that could be handled in a couple of different ways. It could either be done through just a simple handrail that goes down that side, someplace to put your hand, or it could be done with a solid wall. Is it a finished basement, or is it just a
it's an old crummy 100-year-old basement, you know, it needs other repairs. But I'm right-handed. I don't have any problem. I the railing that's there now, of course, is on the right side, and the only person that's fallen off those steps was my elderly cat who was chasing after me all the time. And I guess it would have benefited her, but not the guardrail, but maybe something like, I don't want a solid wall, but back steps we could put some trellising there so that you can't fall through the railing.
Yeah. And I could see where a home inspector or somebody from the city might say that that's required, and there's going to be different requirements, and Scott could probably speak to that a little better than I could as far as what is actually an occupancy issue. But I could I can see what they're saying, and it could just be handled with a simple rail on that side just for safety.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for now, just the simplest, less costly solution. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I don't really feel that it's needed at this point. And I've lived here 32 years, and I've never fallen off the steps. It is a city requirement that I have to meet.
You don't want your cat to fall off again, though, so you might want to do something.
She's gone to kitty heaven, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Mary,
she was very elderly. She was a 21-year-old cat, so she had balance issues, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So,
well, Mary, I make a joke that we've never been this age before. Every day we're one day older, and our abilities change in some way, usually not for the better. And having a lack of a handrail for 32 years, I would actually advocate that's a real hazard, because one day, if you happen to just step on a sock going down the steps and you lose your grip on that one side and you go over the side, that's a big deal. That is not falling down the steps. That's falling off a 4, 6, or 8-foot cliff.
That's true.
So, I mean, be aware that was then, this is now, and what Norm's message is, get ready for now and the future, because if you have a fall like that, now all of a sudden you're talking about bathroom remodel, you can't get upstairs to use a restroom. I mean, we're off to the races here. So an ounce of prevention beats a pound of cure.
That's true. Yeah, definitely. And I'm, you know, like I said, I am getting older, so... I do want to get it fixed for sure. So is that something that, Norm, you come into homes and look at, and I guess you can install a guardrail, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there may be, you know, I kind of like to review everything at the same time. It doesn't take a long time, but there may be other areas that, I could kind of make a suggestion or two where, what if we did this, or what if we added that, just from a strictly safety perspective, you know, whether we do it or someone else does it while I'm there. That's just what I'm drawn to, and that's what I'm going to point out, you know, the things that might need a little bit of attention for now and like for future. Yeah.
Okay. We need to move along here.
Okay.
Sorry,
a guardrail should be sufficient. I don't need to put trellising or anything so that no one can fall through it. You know what?
Sure.
It is a carpeted step, too. There's carpeting on these steps.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not slick, really. It's not like you're going down a slick wooden staircase or anything. Hmm.
Okay. Okay, well, Mary, we're going to have to move along, and it is something that's relatively easy to fix. So, yeah.
Okay, well, if you can go ahead and repeat your phone number again, I'm going to write it down and probably give Norm a call and see when we can do this.
Okay, that's 314-909-1800. Did I get that right,
Norm? Okay.
Yes.
Good. All right,
okay.
Mary, thank you very much.
This is something I could schedule in the next 3 weeks or so?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, thanks so much. I really appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Scott Mosby, Norm Bennett on KMOX. We'll be right back for more after this.
This is the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, we've got a minute and a half here to talk with Norm. Norm, do you have time to stick around after the top of the hour? Do you have family commitments, or can you stick around for hour two?
I sure can stick around, Scott.
Right on. Hey, Norm, we've talked about a few things. When we get into the next hour, what kind of topics would you like to get into? What messages have we missed?
You mentioned flooring. I think that's pretty important. We do look at that. A threshold sometimes can be a big deal. And I like talking about the bathroom and the possibilities of the things you can do in a bathroom to make it safe but not look clinical. We always say beautiful, not clinical. You know, there you can have a grab bar that's or a towel rack that's rated like a grab bar. You know, you can do things that make it just more open and beautiful and safe without making it look like you're visiting the hospital when you go in to look in the mirror. So
oh yeah. And when I get soap in my eyes and I start losing my balance, I'm grabbing anything that I can grab on the way down, whether it's rated or not. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. Well, this is Norm Bennett from Mosby Building Arts. He's an accessibility and home consultant expert, and he'll be with us here for the hour next hour. So stay tuned. We're going to take calls when we get into the second hour. Remember, 1 o'clock, Retire Ready here on CAMOX, 2 p.m., the business of family business. Scott Mosby, Norm Bennett standing by. We are at your service when we come back for hour two on CAMOX.
Welcome to the KMOX Home Improvement Show.
Presented by Suburban Leisure Center. The place with the big red chair. Celebrating 50 years.
Now, Scott Mosby on the voice of St. Louis KMOX.
All right, welcome back. Home Improvement. Scott Mosby, middle of the day. It is lunchtime here, and the temperature is rising. The sun is up. It's feeling pretty good. Time to get outside and enjoy the day. Tomorrow, a less appealing day, overcast and chillier. Well, it's the middle of the country. It's the middle of, you know, November, or the last part of November. So, anyway, be prepared. Phone lines are open for you. This is, the KMOX Home Improvement Show. The KMOX Home Improvement Show, 314-436-7900 puts us together. We can talk about any topic you like, 436-7900. Toll free anywhere on the globe, 800-925-1120. My name is Scott Mosby. I own Mosby Building Arts. We were founded in 1947 by my father, and we continue to do the best we can in serving people every which way their needs evolve, as well, as becoming ever more capable ourselves. Apparently, I'm getting less capable as I breathe here. So anyway, keep in mind, we've got things that have to be addressed throughout the coming ages of our life, life cycles of our home, the various technologies around heating and cooling, some of which I'll talk about later. But again, our biggest responsibility is keeping ourselves safe and healthy. And indeed, my message today and most weeks is make your house serve you. For so many years, we buy the house, we get a mortgage, we make the payments, feel kind of tied to that house. It's a beautiful experience, but my golly, you know, I have to just keep paying. Well, later years, maybe it's the house's turn to take care of us. So whether that be in reverse financing, messages and methods to pull money slowly and gradually out of a house, or whether just preparing the home for our years and our ability, whatever it is, we can talk about that and more. I have Norm Bennett on the line. He's holding with us. He is an accessibility expert, home consultant with my company, Mosby Building Arts. And I appreciate Norm stopping by with us and talking to us today. Again, let's get the phone lines going, folks. If you've got anything related to this, surely you're outside finding something that needs attention around the home. 314-436-7900. 800-925-1120 on this wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. You may have the entire tribe with you, or did. These holidays continue to unfold over this weekend. So today's Friday, maybe it's a work day for you, or today's Saturday, maybe it's a work day for you. Off we go. Lots of things happening. 314-436-7900. 800-925-1120. With me now is Norm Bennett, a home consultant with Mosby Building Arts and accessibility expert. Norm, thanks for staying for the hour two, and hopefully doesn't cut into your family time too much.
No, absolutely not. We're still full from yesterday, so it's all good.
All right. Well, we talked about doors. We talked about flooring a little bit, blocking and preparing. One of the things you chatted about was converting a tub to a shower. And I get that question so many times. Do I have to have a bathtub in the home? How do you respond to when you're asked that question, Norm?
The way I respond to that, and it's surprising, I do get that a lot too. I feel like you need to make your home work for you. You know, if that is going to hurt the resale value of your home, I constantly advise, and this may be a little short, but too bad. You know, keep yourself safe. That's something that is a requirement for most people as they age, is to make it easy to get in and out of that tub. And it's a hazard. And we do, that's a big percentage of what we do, is just making that tub into a shower. And we see this a lot also, is that big garden tub in the corner of the big master bath. I hear this constantly. We've been here 10 years. I think we've used it twice, you know. And when we're done, believe me, I've never heard anybody say, I think you hurt the value of my home. It's a beautiful it's a beautiful process, and it keeps you safe. So, yes, I always advise that.
Well, even just from, my background is in real estate appraisal, and even from the supply and demand, there is an undersupply of accessible housing everywhere. So if you have an accessible bathroom or an accessible home as a homeowner, and that gets stated on the for sale listing, that's a hot property, because the baby boomers are still the largest segment of the population. We're aging. We're needing different mobilities. So my contention is quite the opposite from the real estate agent. Well, you need a tub for bathing babies. Well, you know, when was the last time you had a baby being bathed in your house? So, again, you know, that's I come at it a little bit harder, Norm. I go at it that, you know, I'll give you a list of people that want to buy your house if you do the accessibility improvements. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So as far as floors, we touched on that a little bit on flooring. What are some of the – I was a little disturbed, quite frankly, with our earlier caller, Mary, on the guardrail that has carpeting on the steps going downstairs.
Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's – tell me about that and how you see that through your eyes.
We do a lot of carpet removal. Carpet is good in one aspect, that it's not a slip hazard, but it's almost bad on everything else. If anybody has any kind of a wheelchair or walker or any kind of mobility device, carpet makes it difficult. And if you want to get a little more technical on the technical side, anything we put down in a bathroom on the flooring has to be a certain coefficient of friction. So in other words, we're going to make sure that tile isn't slick. We visited a brand new hotel a few years ago, and I'll never forget the tile around that pool, and it was brand new, was just a hazard. I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't, I mean, maybe it was just me. Maybe it's my background. But the last thing you want to do is have something on the floor that when it gets wet, it's slick. So there's very technical ways and you can look at, and every manufacturer has to rate that tile. So you don't want a tile on the floor that is beautiful but is a hazard. And you can have both. You know, you can have it to where it's safe and beautiful and not slick and just what you want. But it takes a little bit more effort, and you got to review it a little, go a little deeper in the weeds, I guess.
Yeah, measure twice, cut once, as opposed to don't measure and fall, and then, you know, you're in for, you know, now you are stuck in a system of healthcare,
yes,
that you cannot control. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And well, I don't like to be real preachy about this. I mean, I think everybody knows that you could have a fall, you could have a surgery, you could have something, and as you get older, the risk of that are higher. I don't want to say, I don't want to come at it from the bad side. I kind of want to come at it from, let's fix this. Let's make it safe now for our future, and let's do those things in a very check-off-the-box way that makes it so you'll never have to do it again, and hopefully you never have an event. But maybe you don't have a vent like you mentioned earlier because you slipped a little in the bathroom and you didn't pull the grab or the towel bar off the wall. There was an actual grab bar there, something to just a little, an ounce of prevention, you know, goes a long way.
And some of the more urgent issues that I've faced in accessibility were athletes, you know, playing softball, rounding second base, boom, out went the ankle, went the knee, you know, through that big touchdown pass, and now, you know, can't button their shirt anymore. So it's not just aging, it's just flat out living. Anybody who lives with gusto, as you might say, is really going to find out how accessible their home is long before they hit that age where it's time to make improvements. So I love it. Will you stick around, Norm, here after our break?
Yes, sir.
All right. Norm Bennett, Mosby Building Arts home consultant and accessibility expert. This is Scott Mosby, the KMOX Home Improvement Show. We've got some good phone calls, but bring them on. We've got 314-436-7900, 436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Call, give my producer Abby a nice comment, and thank her for her help getting us all put together here on University of KMOX. Scott Mosby, Norm Bennett, we'll be right back. Okay, Scott Mosby, Norm Bennett standing by here on KMOX, 314-436-7900, toll-free 800-925-1120. Bring on your questions now. We are really entertaining all of these as we go through hour two. 1 o'clock brings up the Retire Ready Show on KMOX, 2 p.m., the business of family business right here. Let's go to the phone lines here with our guest, Norm Bennett, and see what's happening with our friend, Laura. Laura, good afternoon. Welcome to lunch on KMOX. Hello, Laura. Are you there? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I have a question. In the fall, like in September of 2019, I had a new furnace and air put in.
Okay.
Both of them works great, but my furnace, I've had them out about 3 or 4 different times, and they finally changed one part. When it first kicks on, it's got this, like, squealing noise. It's when it's – the part is, like, in the front – when you take off the front of the furnace, it's, like, right there in front of you with a little fan on it.
Yeah.
And it's really shrill. I mean, you can – if I'm in the kitchen, it's a long ways from it. I can't really hear it. But when you're in the bathroom or the bedrooms, it's – especially when you're trying to sleep, it's really noisy. And they came out and replaced that, and they just told me, well, that's the way it is. They couldn't fix it. So I don't know if there's any fix for it or not.
There is some furnace, excuse me, some ductwork insulation that can go on the inside of the sheet metal duct, and it functions like a muffler. So it won't stop this. I'm familiar. Some of these blower motors are engineered to perform in, you know, method A, which results in them sounding like, you know, method B, you know, too squealy or whatever it is on those manufacturers. And because of your warranty, they can't necessarily pull out that fan and put in a non-branded fan on there without messing with the warranty on that unit, on a brand new unit like that. So I understand what they're doing. There are some methods, excuse me, and on metal sheet metal ductwork, they can put kind of a 1-inch fiberglass, kind of a black mat, and they just screw it to the inside of what's called the plenum or the actual ductwork itself. And it can be done sometimes fairly easily, but it softens, attenuates, or muffles. Attenuate means, you know, on a sine wave where it goes up and down and up and down, zigzag up and down. It just takes the top off and pushes it down, the bottom off and pushes it up. So there's something that can improve it a little bit. But, you know, sometimes the dealers, you know, the installing contractors have a hard time, you know, overcoming things that are made into that brand of furnace.
Yeah, it's one of the guys suggested that I insulate like the ceiling all the way around it. But to me, it comes through the ductwork. Doing the ceiling is going to help the noise that comes through the ductwork.
Yeah, it's kind of like the ship's captain opening the little cap and calling down to the engine room, you know, full speed ahead. It's just a metal pipe carrying that sound. Well, that's exactly what ductwork is on a forced air system. You're exactly right there, Laura.
I guess, do most of the people or are the heating and air people can do this?
Yes, yes. I would go back. I would stay with the same company. You know, even if you have to pay them a little bit extra for putting this in, because frankly, in this world, even stuff installed in 2019, if it had any problems, you know, getting replacement parts remains a problem with this whole COVID delivery day thing. You know, again, I'd stay with your knowledgeable company as much as you can and just say, well, I called Scott and he said maybe a little bit of, you know, sound insulation. And it's not going to be a whole lot, Laura, but it'll be all that you can do without really re-engineering that unit.
The whole thing, yeah. Well, I really appreciate this because, like I said, they sent their men out. This company has been in business for a long time, and it's a Lennox, the air and the furnace. But and I thought that was a good brand, you know. So I went with them when I picked on one. I really appreciate your information, and I will call them and ask them to see if they can come out and do that for me. If not,
yes,
can I call you? Do you have people that do that?
Oh, sure. We can refer folks that can help you with that. You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'll see how things go. And thanks so much.
Okay, Laura. Sorry you're having that sound with that new furnace or 3-year-old furnace now. But
I keep thinking, what can I do? Because, I mean, they've sort of tried, but it didn't do any good. You know, and it works great, but it's just so noisy.
Yeah.
But anyway, you have a good weekend, and thanks a lot for your information.
All right. Thank you, Laura. Take care. Good luck.
Bye.
Bye now. Home Improvement, Scott Mosby and Norm Bennett of Mosby Building Arts. And we are together trying to answer these questions. And as it relates to Laura's furnace and her blower motor, you know, somebody gets that one. And as highly engineered as most of our equipment is today, it's hard to just change out for generic parts in some of these more performance-oriented units. So I know what it's like to have something that just isn't quite right and then, you know, trying to figure out how to fix it. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. Let's visit with my friend Gary and see what's happening. Gary, good afternoon. Welcome to KMWX. How can we help you here on University of
Hi, Scott.
KMWX?
Norm, I've got a question about basement convenience and safety. Some older friends of mine have a house they've lived in for the last 50 years. And when you go downstairs, they have, like, from the kitchen to the basement, the basement stairs are painted dark brown. You can barely see them. Ooh. And when you turn the lights on, there's no light for the stairwell. And they have an unfinished basement, big basement. And you have to turn, like, 4 different light bulbs, you know, when you pull down the chain get the light. And they're a very, very cluttered, crowded basement. Would it be much for an electrician to fix it so you can simply turn on the switch in the stairwell before you come downstairs and turn all the lights on at one time?
Norm, are you comfortable speaking with Gary?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that. And since it's an open basement, it would not be a terribly difficult project because, you know, you have access to all the wiring and the junction boxes and things like that. It gets a little more difficult when everything is finished and drywalled and you've got to make a lot of holes to get the wire fished through, you know. But and then another thing, you mentioned the color of the stairs. That's a big deal too. If it's all blends together, then that even with the light, you might want to change that just to make it a more obvious step-to-step situation. Are they in a place where they're having difficulty getting up and down the stairs?
Well, they do have a stair lift and everything, too. But just when sometimes they do walk down the stairs. But when I said I almost fell down myself because you can't see the colors. I just paint them white.
Sure.
But they've lived there for the last 50 years and they want to change that. And maybe a comment also, their house is so cluttered with, I mean, stuff for the last 50 years and everything. Does that present a problem to you guys when you go in to do some work on a house?
Well, we do see that a lot. After you've lived there for 50 years, you know, you get used to, folks get used to the way things are. And so part of the process, part of our process is to, what do we need to do to have access to where we need to work? And sometimes there's a little work before we can get to work, you know. So we definitely take that into consideration, and that is something that I do see quite a bit.
Okay. One quick question also. When you go from the family room to the patio, there's like about a 7-inch drop when you go from, there's no step. And I'm suggesting they need a concrete step or something to even it out. The way they've gotten down, they've held on to the patio door and just kind of swung themselves down for the last 50 years.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well,
I almost broke my leg on that one.
Yeah. There's several different ways you can address that. Sometimes people don't want the look of a ramp, and you can make half steps. Depends on their mobility. Definitely a handrail. Definitely no more grabbing the door that will move while you're grabbing it. You know, we can do some things there that will absolutely address that. And there's threshold ramps that are modular. So, you know, those go up to about 6 or 7 inches, and they're very non-obtrusive, you know. And so there are those folks that say, I don't want this to look like a ramp. And then that way you use more of a universal design, and you try to make it look like it was just a design feature of the home. It's like my building and trades instructor told me about 100 years ago, if you make it look, it's not who makes a mistake, it's who makes it look like it was on purpose. So anything that you change, you want to make it look like it was on purpose. And so we could definitely look at that, and it's obviously from what you said, kind of my heart palpitated a little bit, so we probably do need to look at that.
Great. What kind of paint would you recommend to paint the stairs?
Well, I kind of like to see the rest of the house, but, you know, lighter colors are always better. And if it's possible to make a transition at the nose of the step. We have even gone so far as to put reflective tape on the nose of the step. I know it's not pretty, but in some cases where people are really having maybe they're having eye issues where they just don't see that step, and maybe it is an unfinished basement and it's very utilitarian, we'll put some different strip or color or something kind of bold right on the end of that step that they can see where they're at and where they're putting their foot.
Okay, thanks. We'll give you a call.
Thank you.
Great. Norm, that's a good point. Putting various transitions and threshold ramps, they come in different sizes. They're portable. They can move. Can you speak a little bit, you know, just in about the next 30 seconds to, you know, what types of ramps are available out there pretty easily?
Yeah, I've had a great deal of experience. We, in a former company that we had, we did all of the ramps for the Veterans Administration. So they're modular, and they can be set at any height, you can have them for any length. We put them up that were 100 foot long. There's a rule of thumb, and especially when it's ADA requirement, that for every inch of rise, you have a foot of ramp. So that makes it safe, and that makes it ADA compliant. So you have all kinds of dimensions and sizes at your disposal and styles, but they have to meet that requirement. And even in residence, we try to stay really close to that, even though we don't have to be ADA compliant for that application.
Yeah. Hey, when we come back, can we talk about the American Disabilities Act, the ADA, and how it affects or doesn't affect somebody's specific home?
Absolutely.
Okay. Norm Bennett, Mosby Building Arts, Scott Mosby here on KMOX. We'll be back for more after this break on University of KMOX. Yes, indeed. Lunchtime, middle of the day, finishing up our hour two of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. Phone lines open for you. For your question, bring it on, 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. Toll free, 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. With me now is Norm Bennett, a guest throughout the show. So thank you to Norm for joining us today. Let's go to the phone line now and talk with Anita. Anita, good afternoon. Welcome to CamWex. How can we help? Hello, Anita. Are you there with us?
Pardon me?
Yes, ma'am. You're on CamWex. Yes. Anita, how can I help?
Okay, Scott. I think it was last week you were talking about Red X.
Yes.
Putting in your commode and your sinks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't write it down. How much was it that we're supposed to put in there?
Effectively like making powdered chocolate milk. So I just put one teaspoon into a big glass of warm water, mix it around like I'm mixing up chocolate milk with a powder, and put it down the sink or the toilet or shower, floor drain, wherever it is. The idea on that, Anita, is just get enough of the water that you're not dumping powder down that pipe.
Okay.
So even if you get the proportions wrong, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. Well, and may I ask a question to your tile man? I just
yes.
thought I'm getting, I have fake hardwood. I live in a mobile home, and it's new. Well, the tub ran over, and the tub ran over, and it ruined a lot of the tile outside of the bathroom. And I'm having it, I had a carpenter come here, and he told me that he could put something called Armstrong Durabrum. It's
Dura
a luxury
Saran.
LVT.
Yeah.
It's a vinyl tile. Do you know about that?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Norm, can you help?
Yes, that's, you're seeing a lot more of that LVT, luxury vinyl tile, and it's interesting that you mentioned that because we use a lot of it in the accessibility field because it's very forgiving and it's waterproof and it's tough. So, it's also pretty easy to install. So it's as long as the substructure of the floor didn't get compromised in the water damage, I feel comfortable with that LVT. It's got a good texture to it, and it's tough as nails.
Okay, now what would make it compromised? What did you say on that?
Like when you had the tub overflow, has anyone checked on the subfloor, what's underneath, to see if it is deteriorated?
No,
that's kind of the only issue, especially in a modular home. They don't quite have the substructures, the 2x12s and the 3/4-inch plywood and things. So that's going to have to be looked at. But other than that, back to your question about the luxury vinyl tile, I feel like that's a pretty good product and it works pretty well for most applications.
Okay. Thanks, you guys. You made my day today.
All right,
Anita. Well, thank you.
Okay. Happy holidays.
Thanks, Anita. Thanks, Norm. Again, the Duraceram is a brand name of the Armstrong. There are several others, and you brought up the LVT, Norm, the luxury vinyl tile, and it's we're seeing more and more of that, interestingly enough, because you know, the older I get, I love ceramic tile, but it doesn't seem to love me back in quite the same way.
Yeah, and in my particular field, you might have someone in a 400-pound power chair that weighs a couple hundred pounds, and I've seen them maybe go by a register or close to a threshold and pop a tile. And it's just then you've got a big project on your hands where the LVT is, once it's installed and installed properly, it's very forgiving, because in that situation those wheelchairs can tear up pergo, they can tear up a wood product, they can, you know, a good product that's going to last somebody else, you know, 30, 40, 50 years maybe. You just kind of, it's almost trial and error, but you have to find something that will work in other applications. And this works very well under those circumstances.
All right. Well, will you stick with us here, Norm?
Sure thing.
All right. Norm Bennett, a Mosby Building Arts accessibility expert. I promised I know a little about a lot, and we're learning that Norm knows a lot about this narrow place of accessibility. I'll warn you, though, Norm knows a lot of stuff about a lot of things as well, so don't underestimate him. Norm Bennett, Mosby Building Arts, thanks for joining us, Norm. We're going to take a short pause, get back for more as we wrap up Hour 2 on the KMOX Home Improvement Show on KMOX. Yes, indeed. Wrapping up the second hour of the KMOX Home Improvement Show. This is Scott Mosby, Norm Bennett standing by, an accessibility expert. Norm, thank you for joining us today. It's been a nice discussion about something that close to my heart anyway, and certainly close to my life now at this point. Thank you.
I appreciate being here. It's, as you can tell, it's something I love to talk about. I get a little chatty sometimes.
Well, that's good. That makes good radio then. All right. Hang on, Norm. Let's see if we can talk to Dave and see what's cooking with him. Hey, Dave, good afternoon. Welcome to Camo X. How can we help you, my friend?
Hey, guys. I'm having to paint my living room, and some of the paint's chipping off. And so I got exposed drywall underneath there. I guess needs primed. Do I need a special primer for that, or would just Kills be fine?
Kills will work. You just need something that really sticks to that substrate there. So keep in mind, you have, if you're looking at raw drywall on that, Dave, then you really need an adhesive primer, or basically something that sticks to the paper. And what may be happening is they just didn't clean it off properly. They sprayed it too fast.
Urine, dog urine damage along that wall, part of that wall.
Oh, well, yeah. Will the
Kills be okay then? Or
yeah, Kills will be required, and I would use the alcohol, the very smelly solvent-based Kills to overcome that urea of that dog urine.
Well, that's long gone. I mean, it's been years.
Well, there's still residue. There's still residue that'll saturate on that drywall and in that drywall, so you really need to separate the past from the future.
Well, I cleaned it with TSP.
Yeah, good start. Seal it. I mean, so you're on the right thing. Just instead of a primer, hit it with a sealer primer, which is the solvent-based Kills. Even now, I would
sealer
think probably
primer.
The...
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, sealer primer.
Okay. I got another question. My house is a 1952-54. It has 3/8-inch drywall in it. And can I do an overlay with drywall, or would I have to rip it out and put another... You know what I'm saying? Because it's kind of brittle, too. Like, if you lean on it, it, like, cracks.
Norm, do you have any experience overlaying or laminating drywall?
Not enough to speak on. I would rather yield to your expertise on that, Scott.
Okay. Well,
the reason I don't want to rip the exterior off, correct me if I'm wrong, is because it has blown-in insulation, and there's no vapor barrier or nothing either.
Yeah, there's no reason to take that 3/8 off, Dave.
I don't think so either, but I...
No, not a bit. It's very... Unless you have some reason for moisture damage that exists from leaking water. Yeah, it is just fine. Now, the other opportunity is you have a free opportunity to add an electrical outlet or two where it's not there, because you can cut through your 3/8, do whatever you need to, and cover it over.
Right. That's good. I've actually already done that, but that's a good point.
Sweet. Now, the one thing you'll see, Dave, is at your doors and windows, you'll need to fatten up the jamb extensions, so all of your casing, if there's a trim around your windows, trim around your doors. Yeah, that's the only downside is baseboards, trims, doors, and windows. That's it. Otherwise, it's straight half-inch drywall.
Well, I just I've changed the windows out, and I need to retrim them all out, so it's all kind of going to work out together.
Oh, that's awesome. That's perfect.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your help, guys.
Okay, Dave, thanks.
And I appreciate the show. I listen to it quite a bit. Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it. All right. Norm Bennett, Scott Mosby here at your service on KMOX. Norm, we talked briefly about doors we and bathrooms. We didn't really talk about the toilet, the commode, the throne, the things that most of us use a lot. Tell me about the commodes, the toilets, and, it's an often visited fixture.
That's correct. And that's another thing that really is a simple fix and very cost effective, or a simple upgrade, I guess, without a lot of cost, is when you're doing the bathroom remodel, just make that toilet higher. You know, they go up to 22 inches now without, it used to add a lot of cost, but really the manufacturers are getting on board with this is necessary. And it's almost shocking when you go into a bathroom to measure it, you're starting to take all the notes for the remodel. Those old toilets are down there, seems like a foot off the floor, you know. And
that last 2 or 4 inches is a leap of faith of, oh man, is there anything there?
That's right. That's right. So yeah, that's definitely an easy upgrade. Another thing we do want to do on a lot of the remodels is make everything a lever instead of a knob. Sinks, shower valves, doors, just go ahead and put the, you know, and aesthetically it's very common. So it's just a change that you can make at that time to make it easier to handle everything.
I describe that somewhat as when I'm cooking and I have butter on my fingers, if I have to turn a faucet knob or a door knob, I just can't make it happen.
Yeah, so absolutely.
That's the easiest. Yeah.
Yeah.
Speak a little bit more to those levers and where they can be, please.
Okay. Well, the shower valve is pretty common. The sinks are pretty common. But the doors, that's something that you don't see very often. And it's just such an easier way to go in and out and handle it, especially, you know, if you are having any issues. And we talked a little bit about the doors earlier. And the widths and things, a lot of times we make those pocket doors or barn doors around widening that opening. Or if I can't get the door wide enough for a person's needs, a barn door takes that door just down the hallway possibly instead of swinging it out into the room. So that's another thing that kind of goes along with just the ease of movement of as
you're
going in and out.
Barn door being a sliding
right.
track.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they become really popular, and the cost isn't what it was when they first came out. When they first came out, it was like something that not very many manufacturers were making, and you kind of had to special order it, but those things are becoming more and more accessible for us in the accessibility field. So it works out to people's advantage.
Norm, we talked a little bit about the ADA, American Disabilities Act, which is not really a law. It is a guideline, but it's also a one-size-fits-all. How much does the ADA drive or require for you doing work in somebody's home?
Well, it doesn't. It gives us a perimeter, and it gives us some guidelines, because being familiar with ADA compliance and having been involved in working for the Veterans Administration where it was absolutely required, we had to make a veteran's home ADA compliant. And that is, I'm telling you, knocking down walls and building ramps and widening doors and possibly even taking a hallway that was 36 and making it 42 just so you can make the turns you need. But you kind of keep all that in the back of your mind when you're assessing someone's home. But what we're doing in your home is making it work for you. Everyone's needs are just a little bit different, and it's almost impossible to make a 5x8 standard bathroom ADA compliant. There's not any, there's just not the room. So we look at the person's individual needs and we assess that and move forward as best we can. And that still might require taking the closet out of an adjoining room and widening that bathroom if necessary.
but you kind of, you're just making it work. You're doing what works and using all that knowledge in the other areas to say, how can we get close to that in this home and as close as we can and make it work for the customer, the homeowner. Yeah.
Well, Norm, thank you very much bringing your experience to our KMOX listeners. And how do people get a hold of you, or how do people get an assessment like this?
They can just call Mosby and say, I want to talk to Norm. Mm. I'm the only Norm, so it's pretty easy.
Norm.
Right, exactly.
There you go. Oh. Well, thanks, Norm. I appreciate it. I know it's a busy time. It's a holiday weekend, and I greatly value your taking us into this topic, something that's important and a growing need as, you know, as the good thing happens of we get older. It beats the alternative, as my father would say.
Absolutely.
All right. Norm Bennett, Mosby Building Arts, here on KMOX. Norm, thank you for joining us, and I'll let you go now and with my thank you.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it.
Okay. Scott Mosby, bye-bye. Norm Bennett, Mosby Building Arts. Thanks, folks. We'll be talking next week about all kinds of topics and having phone calls as well. So remember to tune in. Stay here on 1 o'clock KMOX. The Retire Ready Show is at 1 o'clock. And then right after that, 2 p.m. today here on KMOX, the business of family business. Kind of an interesting story about a business here in St. Louis. Scott Mosby, KMOX. See you next week.